An off-the-record episode that's long overdue, but I waited on purpose. Welcome, everyone. In this episode, I want to do a follow-up to my Justice for Floyd video because, oh man, more information has come out. And that's why I wanted to do a follow-up. Normally, I don't like a knee-jerk reaction to a lot of social media shares, especially when they go viral, because we lack the context of things. And most of everybody on social media only sees the one thing, reacts to it, and moves on. Or some of them just live in that mindset and just keep going, but never follow up with that very thing. So, like, remember that Kony 2010, was it? No, 2012. Kony 2012. Get that guy that was getting child soldiers. The dude was... He hasn't been involved in that for the longest time, but because it became a viral sensation, people wanted to get involved in something and feel they were part of a movement. Well, that's the same thing that happened as a result of, I don't want to say it's a direct result of the Floyd death, but it's a lot of events happen like back to back that kind of fed this narrative the media wanted to push, and they were getting their way. Such as the two Karens, the male Karen and the female Karen, that were arguing over masks in Central Park. And the white liberal Karen, she ended up threatening the black male Karen that she was going to call the police and say that an African-American was threatening her. So, you know, with that and the George Floyd coming on the heels of the Arbery shooting that just looked bad, on video also, and everybody reacts without context. So more people, or everyone I would say, are now more or less familiar with the movement Black Lives Matter. It's not a new movement, but they tend to get more attention on election years. What year is this? Yeah, think about that. Anyway, the thing about that has been that I have never been a supporter of that movement. Not to say that black lives don't matter. Yeah, that's why do I even have to mention it in that way? If I say all lives matter, like, oh my goodness, you're a racist. Like, why? Because all lives matter? Like, whatever. The point is that there we can separate the movement and what the expression is. Okay? Let's separate the two for now because we're gonna dive into this thing about George Floyd, the follow-up video that no one is talking about. Black lives matter. Yes, they do. Just like brown lives, white lives, yellow lives, red lives, and every other color in the spectrum you can think of. Yes, they matter. Human beings, we all matter. Born and unborn matter. Okay? That's a given. I've said it. There you go. Then there's the Black Lives Matter movement that purports to stand and defend the rights of black people. All of you that have donated to the Black Lives Matter movement, have you ever wondered where your money goes? Because none of it went to the movement. And have you even bothered to read what who we are on the about page for Black Lives Matter is? Read the entirety of that page. Not one thing there is about black people. It's a laundry list of wishy-washy liberal white things. And progressiveness, wokeness, social justice, war, identity, politics stuff. What's that got to do with black lives? And when you have black lives actually arguing against Black Lives Matter, they don't get any attention. Why? Because they think for themselves. Well, they're not called that. They're called a bunch of other things. A documentary I recommend, I'm going to leave the trailer in the description down below for those of you watching the website. It's Uncle Tom. Watch it, get a perspective. Way better than I can ever explain it here. That's why they produced it. There you go. Black Lives Matter has been a violent, aggressive movement. So look, when your movement to call to attention police brutality kills more, injures more, and destroys more property in 2 months, then more black people that have been killed, unarmed black people, by cops last year alone. Isn't there something wrong with that movement? Have they lost sight of what they're doing? Because it was never about black lives. Never. Or else they wouldn't be, these blacks wouldn't be killing black people. Antifa terrorists have hijacked the movement, I'd say. And part of me doesn't even believe the entirety of Black Lives Matter movement heads were ever separated from the aggressiveness that we're only blaming on Antifa. Look, there are those that are well-meaning and well-intentioned that are caught up in all this. And they're saying, hey, you know, there's peaceful protests. You can't let these bad apples give a bad name to the entire movement. Yeah, so taking that logic, you can't let a handful of bad cops say that the entire police department in the entire country is bad. Oh, it doesn't apply there. That part right there, the fact that we can't apply the same standard across the board, the same logic, the same ground rules that these leftist place that is ever fluid, always changing because it doesn't fit the same narrative that they want to. When you're arguing, when using their argument against them, they're always changing the rules because they don't want to lose. I'm going to talk about that in a separate video, okay? But I just want to point out the absurdity that we somehow still let ourselves be lied to, that chanting and protesting in the tens, hundreds of thousands in cities, pillaging, burning, killing, maiming, and all these different things is supposed to be a peaceful response. But churches cannot open because of the coronavirus. What? I'm confused. So this is a super intelligent virus that knows the difference between a racial injustice protest and what it means to not be involved in racial injustice protest? I don't understand that. I don't, and I won't, because it's completely absurd that we would send police to churches to shut them down. But when Dr. Fauci's asked, what about the protests? Should we scale down the protests? What do you mean, Jim Jordan? Everyone that has expressed themselves about Black Lives Matter that I know in my social circle, not one person has talked about the body cam footage that was leaked. Why was it leaked? The district attorney in Minneapolis has had it for 2 months. They've had it. They've had access to it. Why haven't they made it public? Why did it take someone at the Daily... Oh my goodness, what's the name of the... The Daily News, that one British magazine... news magazine. Why did it take someone to use their phone to record a screen to be able to get the footage out of that body cam? Is it because the body cam is damning to the case the district attorney is bringing against the cops in this case? Because the body cam footage shows the before, the pullover of George Floyd gives the full context of what happened before it all went down. And that entire body cam footage analysis, I am leaving in the description down below for you to check out for yourself. Steven Crowder goes over it. And it's not so much about Steven walking through it. It's the fact that his attorney is there to discuss it with it. So having someone with a background in law to be able to dissect things gives more validity to an analysis of a video than anyone else. Because this is what I have said. And I believe I said it in Off the Record too. You have a district attorney that was overzealous 2 days after this video went viral of George Floyd's killing. The police officers were brought up on charges. Derek Chauvin being the first, and then the other three that were involved also. Derek Chauvin was being brought up with the most serious count of third-degree murder, which is not premeditated and not entirely intentional, but resulted in the killing of someone. Okay, in a situation that escalated, they ended up killing someone. Okay, even with the body cam footage, I haven't changed my position on that point. But the district attorney upgraded the charge to second degree murder, which means it was premeditated. And I've been saying this for nearly 2 months now. And those that know me know this. Even though I said it on my show, I haven't said it on my show perhaps as much as I've said it to those around me in my social life. I told them, prepare for two more riots. One, with respect to the election results. Both sides are not going to accept whoever wins. Two, because of this overzealous district attorney, these officers will be acquitted. Because the body cam footage destroys the narrative that it was a premeditated murder when the police were doing what they could to try to deal with a very, very intoxicated, high on drugs, George Floyd. And the worst part about that body cam footage, because there's multiple witnesses that were in the car with him. He was driving while under the influence, and there were more people in the car that no one knew about. Like, wait. There were people in the car? And it was a female passenger that told the police that he was under the influence and was telling George to cooperate with the police. Now, does it exonerate the police for what they did? In this case, Derek Chauvin? No, absolutely not. Situation escalated. What we are getting at, though, the charges do not fit the crime. And should the police be acquitted in this case? Because any juror, and I did a video about my experience with the justice system. Check that one out if you missed out on that episode. I, as a juror, seeing all this, would be like, damn. He's not guilty of that. The cop, not guilty on the charges that were brought forth. That is why you haven't heard about that video. And for those of you listening on the audio portion of this podcast, as soon as I wrap up my thoughts, I'm going to be playing the audio version of Steven Crowder's analysis with his team of this body cam footage. It's about 28 minutes long. But that's why you need to watch it. Because the entirety of the past 2 months, your entire livelihood and the direction of this country has been shaped up by a video that's only been taken at face value, without context, to tell you, to be sold this lie about racial injustice in this country. Yes, I said it. Racial injustice in this country, that being a lie. The progress that we have made, and now supposedly questioning our history, that we have to take down all these statues, that we have to get rid of the churches because of the patriarchy, the white founding fathers, the slave owners. And this is a teaser for an upcoming episode that I'm making for the main show. Someone gave me a license to talk about this. It's going to sound like an off-the-record thing, but believe me, I'm going to try to keep as cool as possible for that one. To talk about the abolishing of landlords. What the heck does that have to do with George Floyd? Exactly why I have to address it. So stay tuned for that one. But here's the thing. The conflation of so many issues and trying to say it's all racism. People have lost sight of the meaning of words. And people have also lost sight of what facts are. Because if the facts do not fit your belief, it has to be an opinion. That is a problem. And I will discuss how that happened in our psyche in another episode of Off the Record. So for this one, I'm going to wrap up my thoughts. Okay? My thoughts haven't changed about the conclusion of what the police officer and the entire team did in the situation of George Floyd. I maintain the same thing. Now, I do have more perspective on how the cops were handling it. We say, oh, they need more training. And when you see the body cam footage, you know, they handled it about as well as they could up until things escalated. And the toxicology reports, the autopsy reports, there were two of them. The one that was by the coroner's office, they said, yeah, he was high on drugs. And then the family one said, oh, he died of asphyxiation. Now, of course, the family doctors or the independent ones are going to say that because they needed to say that. Now, I discredit that one as soon as it was announced Because I knew the conclusion of it as soon as the family said that they were going to get their own autopsy report. So the autopsy was biased from the get-go because of the amount of political pressure there was on that. So the original autopsy report is validated in that he was high on drugs. He had a cocktail of methamphetamines in his system while driving, folks. While driving. And on top of that, George Floyd told the police that he had the coronavirus. And last I checked, the most susceptible groups to COVID-19, the most susceptible groups besides the age group of 65 and older, and underlying conditions such as obesity and respiratory issues, the ones that also have the hardest to deal with are those in the black community. So, what if he had died of COVID-19? We probably wouldn't have, we wouldn't be having this conversation. What was he doing walking around being COVID positive? We would be more outraged about that. But because there was a white cop involved, now it's a different story. We got to blame the white police officer for what happened. So the original autopsy report is corroborated. And George Floyd was already complaining about respiratory issues. Watch the body cam footage for why he ended up on the floor instead of at the back of a police cruiser. It's interesting. But that did not give the right Derek to hold his knee over George for that long, especially after the guy was already complaining about having trouble breathing. And all those other police officers just standing there like, whatever. It's a crapped up situation because you still have someone that resulted in death. Like, someone died. Now, a lot of you that have seen that video, you're impacted because you see a lifeless body being picked up. He's not dead. He died hours later. But it was enough to drive you into, like, the cop killed him. But when you see the body cam footage, and you hear the charges brought against these cops, it's a recipe for another riot. And the building on the continuous narrative that, hey, there is no justice in the system, or to tear it down and rebuild it. And that's what the media wants. That's why they don't want you to see the body cam footage. They just want you to hear that these cops are acquitted so they can tell you, see, this, we knew this was going to happen. With the eyes of the world watching, literally. Anyway, that's it for my thoughts on this one. I have more to share, but I could go on and on and on, and I'm going to leave it at that. I told myself I wanted to keep it timed because I need to share the video with Steven Crowder. So check it out. It's down below for you to watch. And for those of you listening on the podcast, just stay tuned. It'll start playing in a moment. Thanks, and I'll see you on the next one.
George Floyd, the full tape. So again, my question to you is, who has watched the full tape and has it changed the context? Here's what I will say. In watching this tape, now I don't need to issue a warning because it's not disturbing. We're going to watch it in its entirety and pause it at places that I think are, I guess, notable. The entire tape itself is notable. What is most interesting to me is the most notable portions of this tape as it relates to the narrative were never released. When you have Keith Ellison, who never let the public know about this, they had access to this tape this entire time, and it took someone from the UK to videotape their screen like it was Jerry Seinfeld with Death Blow. That's the only way we got our hands on this. Listen, it reiterates what we've said before, reinforces the idea that the problem with the police is training, right? The knee on the neck. But after watching this full tape, Not only do I not think that they're going to make Murder 2 stick, I think that these police officers are going to walk, which is, if they'd have released this tape that you're about to watch,
riots are
gonna
there
start. Never would have been riots. That's why the tape was never released. No reasonable juror in watching this, and you'll watch it with me, tell me if you think I'm wrong, could actually attribute motive, malicious motive, or certainly racism here. I'll set the tone. When I watch the full tape with George Floyd, I see someone who's high out of his mind, who is he's not even someone who's comprehensible, and people, police officers, who feel kind of bad for him, who feel sympathetic for him. This idea that they were roughing him up from the get-go, no. So with that being said, let's watch the George Floyd full tape for people who missed it, and then you tell me if this changes the context. Let's start with the pullover.
Let me see your other hand.
His hand is reaching back there, by the way. Do you see that? His right hand is reaching back.
Let me see your other hand.
Look at that. Reaching back. Is that what you do when cops pull you over, folks?
Hand up there. Hands on the wheel.
This is the only time where a gun makes an appearance.
Hands on the wheel.
Hands are on the wheel.
Put your foot back in.
God dang, man, I got shot the same way as I was before.
Okay, well, when I say let me see your hands, you put your hands up. You got him?
Dang, man.
Put your hands on top of your head.
Now when he complies, and you see when he finally does comply and keep his hands on, the gun goes away. It never comes back out.
Hands on top of your head. Hands on top of your head. Step out of the vehicle and step away from me, all right? Step out and face away.
Step out and face away.
Please don't shoot me. His gun is already away.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I think it's entirely appropriate when a guy is reaching back and you say hands on the wheel and he is not complying at all.
Yeah.
You have to have a firearm out because let me change one thing. Okay. Hands on the wheel. Oh, man, I'm sorry, officer. I'm sad. Bad. Bang, 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 click, bang. That's what happens.
Right,
it does happen, by the way. We have this statistic that an officer is actually 18 times more likely to be killed by a young black male than they are to be killed by an officer. So we need to keep that statistic in mind. Yeah. And then intent there matters. Please don't shoot me. I'm not going to shoot you. And you will see this as a recurring theme because a lot of people were saying, why aren't police trained in de-escalation? This is picture perfect de-escalation if you watch where this goes.
Well, if, as a civilian, if I'm watching, it looks like an escalation when he pulls the gun out because I don't know how to read that situation. But yeah, if you can't see one of his hands, he's opening the door without being asked to.
Right.
Like he's
that happened
protecting
to me.
Himself.
That happened to me. I broke down.
You broke into a liquor store?
I broke into a liquor store. Okay, you got it. No, I broke down and then I was trying to fix my car and a cop pulled up behind me. And I got out of my car and walked towards him, wasn't thinking.
That's stupid.
And he was like, get back in the car. I mean, because he doesn't know who I am,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah. He took his gun out?
No. He put his hand on his gun.
Oh, because you said, get back in the car.
No, he was pointing. He's like, get back in the car. And he put his hand on his gun because he doesn't know.
He absolutely doesn't know. That's the only point the gun is there.
Right.
And what I want people to understand is he says, I'm not going to shoot you. And that's repeated along with other instructions and amenities that will be provided for George Floyd. And I actually mean that. You'll see as we continue
to watch. Other thing I find to be interesting is that regardless of the race of the occupant, that is how officers are trained across the board.
Yeah.
Like regardless, like if you're reaching around in your vehicle, you are putting yourself at risk and you are indicating that you are not complying. So it would be a different story if he was reaching around and the officer, you know, that's
using
dangerous
that phrase.
Situation. Which one?
He was reaching back.
Yeah.
If you're reaching around in your vehicle, well, listen, I don't want to talk about
that. I can actually say that officers are more concerned about this motion than they are this motion.
Because
the motion to the back, you have to swing all the way back around.
Right.
And sure, you could pull out and do this, but you can do this one just as well.
Right.
And most people aren't storing their firearms for ready use in the back.
And at first, he was reaching to the side, and then he was reaching.
Exactly. Back. That's what I mean. So he's reaching here, and he's reaching back. And this is the thing. He doesn't comply, not once, not twice. Like 10 times he doesn't comply. Right. And so that becomes the place where when you're an officer, you have to presume the worst because of the deadly
situation. And just to be clear, I think anyone here who's been pulled over, we don't do that.
Not good.
So, and it's not a white privilege thing. I just go, oh, a police officer, hands on the wheel, and I let him know that I have a concealed carry if there's a firearm in the car or not. It's really only happened once since I've had a concealed carry, but the officer says, thank you very much. There's no need to move your firearm. Right. I appreciate it. And change your registration, you dick. I go, I'm sorry, officer. That's one for you. Let's continue with the tape. We just ended it. I'm not going to shoot you.
I'm gonna get out of here, man. Please don't shoot me, man.
Again, I'm not shooting you.
I just lost my mom, man.
Pause. Didn't just lose his mom. That was 2 years ago. Okay, so again, this shows that he's just, and I don't think he's lying. I think, I mean, when you look at the toxicology report, which is 2 to 3 times what people have said the legal or lethal amount of fentanyl in his system. He had morphine. He had methamphetamine. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I've heard that there have been sort of arguments as to whether it's a lethal amount or legal amount. The point is, there was a lot of fentanyl, morphine, and methamphetamine in his system. He just so happens to be, at this point, the downers counteracted the uppers. This could have been a far more violent altercation. Yeah. Really, up until the end of it, it's really just kind of more nonsensical.
Erratic,
let's
continue. Right.
Yeah.
Step out and face away.
Please don't shoot me, Mr. Officer. Please. Don't shoot me, man.
Step out and face away.
Can you not shoot me, man?
I'm not shooting you. Step out.
Third time. I'm not shooting you.
Yeah.
Please.
Runs away.
Please, man. Please.
He's reaching over to the side there, Bill, like you talked about.
Get out of the car.
I didn't know, Mr. Officer. I didn't know.
That's his girlfriend, whoever it is. Stop resisting, yelling that.
Notably, not yelling it at the officers, yelling it at her carmate.
Right. Carmate, that's a fun word.
Carpanion?
Hey, come back. Stay in the car. Stop resisting, man. Yes, you are.
Against the wall. Yes.
This is notable too. Let's keep playing.
Figure out what's going on. Drop the bag.
Figure out what's going on.
Adam, what's the problem?
We was getting him. It ain't us.
We was getting a ride.
I just got my phone fixed. It's my ex-man.
Just checking with the other officer. Are you good? They're still handling George Floyd.
Ask for the gentleman's ID.
Ask for the gentleman's ID. Now, pause. This is important. You can't see because I'm in that little corner. He asked that man to drop the bag, which is totally reasonable. He said, drop the bag. He drops the bag. Can I get some ID? The man hands it over. He doesn't deal with this guy again after this.
Right,
really.
Yeah.
In other words, that's how you handle it with a police officer.
Yeah.
So if you want to say racially motivated... Yeah. Black man there, and by the way, significantly black man. I wouldn't say that he's a Condoleezza Rice. You know, at least Ben Carson plus. Yeah. And
Wesley Snipes.
He goes, all right, puts his bag down.
I don't think the officer cared.
No, I don't think the officer cared.
Yeah, the officer definitely was just treating the people who were not being ridiculous.
Exactly.
Like citizens.
You have two examples of ways not to handle a woman going, we didn't even do anything.
Right.
Well, you just told him to stop resisting. One point she motions, you can't really see it here, like he's something like maybe George Floyd might be crazy. The other gentleman... The little John, the looking guy, drops the bag.
Yeah.
And I believe he said that. He goes, okay, do you have ID? He goes, yeah, and he hands it to him. And the officer's like, we don't need that, sir. Sorry. So,
same skin color, very different behavior.
Same skin color, different behavior. Again, the idea here, the reason for the riots is police brutality, going out and hunting down black people for no reason based on what we saw from the George Floyd tape. I don't think you're going to convince a jury that this was a racist officer encounter or malicious intent. Let's continue.
Hold on. Can we say one thing?
Yeah.
Notice that the only person who talked about resisting was one of the observers who was a friend of the person being arrested, George Floyd.
Right.
The officer doesn't even talk about resisting until later. He continues.
After
he doesn't
that, yeah.
focus
yeah.
on resisting, resisting, right? Because you often hear this narrative that cops will just say, he was resisting, and then, you know, just start beating people, right? Like, had his baton out, just start hitting them.
Right.
No, he actually, even after the woman acknowledges that this is resisting, he doesn't focus on the resisting. He just talks, and then George Floyd continues to resist, and he finally says it, and yet still does not beat him senseless as
the
left.
And the timeline is important because once he gets the handcuffs on and the resisting increases, the de-escalation increases from the officers, where you can almost hear in their voice a voice of like a father, like, get your crap together, man. And this is also important because the context that they worked together at the club, right? The idea was they worked together at the club, and this cop was a racist who had it in for George Floyd. Well, maybe this is a cop who knew that George Floyd had spent the majority of his adult life in jail and knew that after this arrest, he was probably going to be going back to the big house for a long time. And he's going, because if you take into account that they know each other, It certainly doesn't seem like this is a guy with a vendetta. It seems like a guy who knows someone who cannot get his shit together. Let's continue. Asked for ID, handed ID.
Sir, I just came about a tablet, and when I bought a tablet, it didn't heat.
Oh my God! He didn't even do nothing.
You have ID?
No, I don't. My name's Shawan Benigno. Sir. I just came over to get my phone to see I don't have a purse or nothing. And my daughter is on her way to get me.
Lots of unnecessary information there.
A little extra.
Which just sort of wastes police officers' time. That's an F. That's an FYI for people watching. Nothing wrong with it, just aggravating. There you go. See, she goes, he got a thing going on. So now we've changed it. She's gone, stop resisting! And then she tells the officer, he got a thing going on. So if you're an officer and a guy that size, this is the information that you have,
and he's going to be concerned. He's acting erratic, right?
Okay,
now.
Here we go back to George Floyd.
Let's go.
Yes. Yes, I was just moving earlier.
Let's go.
All right, let me come on down. It's feeling better now.
Keep walking.
Okay, do me one favor, man.
No, we get to the car. Let's get to the car, man. Come on.
Dang, man.
That's that tone of voice. Yeah, let's get to the car.
It's a dog whistle.
It's not aggressive.
It's a dog whistle for N-word.
Oh, man.
Please go over here.
I want to watch that car for yourself.
Now watch. They ask him if he's on something, which we know he was.
Stop falling down. Stay on your feet and face the car door.
Please.
No.
Please.
Get out the door, man. I don't want to talk to you,
no.
Man.
Please, let me talk to you, please.
You ain't listening to nothing.
I know.
We're listening.
Just make sure no one goes in it.
Okay, now here we go. Listen to this.
I hear you, but you are going to face the door right now.
Listen up. Stop.
I'll do anything. Anything y'all tell me to do, man. I'm not a resistor, man. I'm not resisting.
As he's resisting very clearly.
Yeah.
Pause really quickly, too. By the way, how you mentioned, like, some officers, we've been told the story of how officers say he's resisting and go whack, 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 whack.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a flip side of that where someone goes, ah! Falls down and says, the officer was strong-arming me, man.
Hmm. Yeah.
How many times have we seen George Floyd there before anything try to fall? And how many times they say, dude, get up, man. We're listening. Get up. Stop falling on the ground. It's like kid kung fu. Ray Romano used to talk about this, right? You go to pick up your kid before bedtime and they just sort of slither down. You're like, you can't grab him. It's like one of those bars of soap.
Ragdoll on you that are like 20 times heavier.
One of those toys that you get like a Dollarama that keeps slipping out that looks like an uncircumcised penis. One of those things. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't go there. Helpful analogy.
Yes, I know exactly what
that's what it looks like. And it's weird and it's off-putting. I blame Chinese production.
Thank you.
They just don't have the quality control.
You had one, though.
So,
it's subversive.
Advertising.
Let's continue watching this. He's tried to fall down multiple times. What you cannot do is hold the officers to a perfect standard and hold someone like George Floyd or these rioters or protesters to no standard whatsoever, to a standard lower than actual criminality in the cases of many of these protesters. And we'll find out in a court of law if that's the case with George Floyd. This is where it gets, I think it's very important, again, because you're talking about ruining people's lives, these police officers. Where they keep trying to de-escalate. They say, we're with you. Hey, we're with you. We're going to roll down the window. We're going to turn on the air. I want you to watch this carefully and look into your heart and think, I think that we might have been too harsh on Chauvin early on. Because outside of the training that allegedly was taught to him, before that, not a lot was done wrong here. And then it escalated, and you'll see why it escalated, unfortunately, by demand from George Floyd, who demanded to be put in the ground and refused to get in the car. Yeah. So an unfortunate situation. Not saying right now who's right and wrong. We'll see that in a court of law. But this tells a very different contextual story than we were sold, which inspired the riots. Let's continue.
I won't do nothing like this, y'all. Why is it going on like this? Look at my wrist, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy.
Well, if they ran your ID, they know you're exactly that kind of guy, George Floyd. That's where it's relevant. They ran your ID, they know how many times you've been arrested for violent crimes, they know you're exactly that kind of guy.
Did they run the ID at that point?
I don't know if they have, but the guy knows it, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're still going in the car.
Anything sharp on you?
I won't do nothing to hurt y'all, no, sir. Nothing. I don't have nothing. Why y'all doing me like that, officer? Please, crack it for me and stuff, man.
Trying to fall again. They're supporting him up.
You got him?
Could you please crack it for me? Please.
Yes, I'll crack it.
Stay with me, man.
I will.
Please stay with me, man. Thank you.
I will stay with you. I will stay with you is what he's saying there. Look, pause. That right there, that to me is very tempting. For anyone out there who's a wrestler who's done grappling, he's grabbing an underhook. Now, you can grab an underhook and make it aggressive. You can grab an underhook or no, you can grab somebody and shoulder bump them like a punch. Look at that. He's grabbing him in a way so he has control because his hands are cuffed, but it registers as a hug. Hmm. And this is while he's saying, we're going to stay with you, man. Come on, man. Yeah, please, just get in the car. We're staying with you. We're staying with you. That does not look like a man who's going out there to burn a cross on a lawn. Again, you can find officers using an underhook with someone who's cuffed and using it to commit damage. He could just as easily use that right now because he has a lever. Boom! Pound him into the car door. And no, outside of a camera, people would be none the wiser. The point is, if the intent was there, it would be very easy to accomplish. This literally looks like a man trying to comfort someone, saying, we're here, man. We're here with you. Stop.
Especially,
Especially
as he's asking to be stayed with. He's asking to be stayed with,
and he says that he's claustrophobic. It's situational claustrophobia, which applies when the vehicle is going to prison.
Right. The destination of the vehicle.
Because it's much more roomy than the old Metro Geo that he was driving or whatever it was when he was pulled out of. In other words, now he's claustrophobic. So listen, we know that it's not really accurate at this point. No one wants to get into a cop car to be taken to jail, especially with a rap sheet that long. Keep in mind, this is often statistically when situations get more violent. We saw it with Brooks, right? When we saw it in Georgia, someone who doesn't want to go back to prison, someone who has a rap sheet, someone who might be on a three-strike rule, it's someone with nothing to lose. And they're reaching over going, okay, man, we're going to stay with you. And this repeats itself. Let's continue.
I'm listening.
I'll roll the windows down.
Take a seat.
I'm going in, Mr. I'm going in.
No, you're not.
I gotta go in.
Take a seat.
Grab a seat. Y'all don't believe me, Mr.
Take a seat.
I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy, man.
Take a seat.
Y'all, I'm gonna die in here.
Just real quick, he repeats it, but he said, I'll roll the windows down twice. He said, I'll roll the windows down if you can, and I'll put the air on.
Yeah, right.
That's a car service.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's not a Lincoln Town and Country at that point.
What is this, an Uber?
I can't for me at my point. I'm just saying this up until here, the officers at this point were commendable, in my opinion. Yeah. Up until this point, not talking about what happened after that, but this is pretty damn good de-escalation. Yeah. I can't imagine a scenario where I wouldn't be punched in the face at this point, where I wouldn't already be on the ground. And in the case, he only ends up on the ground by request, as you'll see later on. I cannot imagine resisting, falling, pushing against an officer, refusing getting into a car without it escalating significantly more than this. Matter of fact, I would wager these cops are aware of the body cam and are trying to avoid being in the nightly news at this point because this is not really protocol. A lot of the time, especially if you're in a bad area of town, police officers are trained to try and neutralize a potential threat because they don't know what's going on around them. Some could argue that they're spending too much time trying to get a man into a car in the first place. That should happen quickly. Door closed, so you're safe.
One of the other things is, remember, just a minute ago, one of the companions in the car was giving the indication about a mental issue. Yeah.
Yes.
Got something going on.
When you think about how these officers are treating it, I mean, 5, 6, 7 times he actively gets out of the vehicle when they're trying to get him in. You're not even seeing the stuff you see on cop shows, like fake cop shows where they're like shoving your head down and pushing you in, shoving you in. Yeah. I mean, none of that stuff. And I think that is at least some evidence to show that they were aware that they were dealing with someone that wasn't in the right mind, and they were acting on that in a positive way. Now, remember, we're asking officers to not only risk their lives every day, but be mental health counselors, to be social workers. And in that moment, you can see they're trying.
Yeah,
they are actually trying to do the best they can in that circumstance.
They were,
despite the resistance,
they were more harsh with Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, that guy's a criminal.
He was claiming he was Santa Claus. That's Joe Biden-esque talking about gorillas in the koi pond.
I mean, that's almost as bad as smelling children.
It's up there. It is remarkable to me at this point that they are. And keep in mind too, they said again, this companion of his said he got something going on, and he goes, "I'm gonna die in there, man." So This again starts to become white noise, and you'll hear him say, I'm gonna die, I can't breathe, long before he's on the ground. He said, I just buried my mom, right? The guy, again, keep in mind, Chauvin knows him, probably if they've worked at the club for years, and everyone assumed that they worked together, and therefore he was a neo-Nazi out with an agenda.
Yeah.
Instead, it seems like maybe he's empathetic here, and he certainly would probably know that Floyd, if they knew each other, which was a narrative before, that his mom had died over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're going, all right, this guy is out of his mind, his companion says so, he's in a panic, he's refusing to get in the car, he says he's going to die. So then later when he says again, hey, I'm going to die, or hey, I can't breathe, it's like, but you said that when we asked you to get into the back of a cruiser.
Yeah, and I think they ask him if he's on something, he says, I'm not on anything. Yeah. He says, well, why are you having trouble walking?
Right.
And so it's like, so they know something's going on.
Well, and that would have been the moment, right, to say, hey, I can't stand up. I can't, right, and not to say that officers necessarily believe it, but they're even trying to figure out, like, why is he acting so strange?
Right.
And again, if he's in a state, he may not even recognize he's on a state, but in that moment, like, that's where you go, oh, I can't walk for this reason. What reason? Like, what is the reason? Like, we want to understand, do we need to support you more or not? Right?
And I will say I appreciate his poker face, because if I have anything to drink and my wife goes, did you have something to drink? I immediately go, a little bit.
No.
So if I were on fentanyl and my wife goes, are you on a cocktail of methamphetamine, morphine, and fentanyl? I'd be, scotch. I wouldn't be able to be like, no, I'm not that kind of guy. My wife would be like, you're exactly that kind of guy. You right.
You know me.
All right, let's continue watching it. Again, more of the we'll roll down the window and more accommodation.
Look at it.
We can fix it, but not while you're standing out here.
Okay, man. God, y'all do me bad, man. I don't want to try to win.
I don't want to die to win.
I don't want to win. I'm claustrophobic. I'm claustrophobic and I got anxiety. I don't want to do nothing to them.
I'll roll the window down.
What, a third or fourth time?
Hey, when I start breathing, it's going to go off on me, man.
Pull your legs down.
Okay. Let me count to three and I'm going in. Please.
They let him count to three like it's going in the first pool dip of the season when it's cold. And here you go is where they finally say, okay, enough is enough, and they need to get him into the car. And by the way, he just said, put me on the ground.
I'm claustrophobic. I'm telling you, but you're not working with me. God, I'm claustrophobic, man.
Come on over here. I'm going to pull you out.
Get in the car.
Get in the front.
No, you're not getting in the front.
I'm claustrophobic. So I was
in the car. Okay, man, okay. I'm not a bad guy, man.
In the car.
I'm not a bad guy. Man.
They're not even touching.
Please.
Take a seat.
Please, man. No, I
have to take a seat.
I can't choke. I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. Okay.
Fine.
And then they end up finally pulling him out of the car. So we've seen enough. That's enough for the clip. You guys can go and watch the whole clip. You can search it on YouTube if it's available. I think you might actually have to go search it on a separate white. I believe that was on a separate set. I believe that was from Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. But again, he was saying, I can't choke. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Something else that people don't take into account, he didn't just not comply. He lied about complying and then wouldn't. He go, okay.
And then didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
That's very different. No. That's like every single movie you've seen, right? Every single film where a guy's been pushed too far, whether it's Henry Winkler in Night Shift with the mustard and a sandwich, where they go, and then the sucker punch, right?
Yeah.
It's
right.
The disarming. It's the, okay, I'm going to comply. There's a lot of, okay, one, two, why are you doing this, man? Listen, that happens so often with police officers. You can find security tapes of people going, okay, I'm going to, and they pull something out. Now you have a guy who reached over to his side, who reached over to behind him, who didn't put his hands on the wheel, who didn't put his hands on his head, who asked, please don't shoot me, please. The officer said 2-3 times, I'm not going to shoot you, please comply, who lied about being on drugs, who had other people there who said that the man was resisting and said that he had a mental issue going on, who couldn't stand up, who then tried to fall down repeatedly, who said he was going to die in the car, who said, stay with me.
Yep.
The police officer said, yes, we're going to stay with you. We'll roll down the window. We'll turn on the air. 3-5 times. And then finally started getting him into the car. If you don't believe that there was any way to try and restrain this man, you don't believe that if someone doesn't want to be arrested, that you have the right to arrest them as a police officer.
Yeah.
He went to the ground because that was by request. He didn't want to get into the car.
Yeah, right. And they consulted him, which is an odd practice. But I mean, even so, it's they are going above and beyond.
And the last portion of this tape, and this also explains, by the way, when they say, well, why didn't the other officers do anything? Well, if you're another officer and you've been holding him gently saying, we're going to stay with you. And he's going, I can't breathe. I'm going to die. I can't breathe.
What are the
My
options?
Mom just died. And then he's on the ground going, I can't breathe. You're not going, oh, this guy's dying. You're going, well, yeah, he said that for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at how he's getting pulled out of the vehicle, again, it's what he wanted. He was not trying to get in the vehicle in any kind of way. Didn't want to be in the AC. Didn't want to be with the windows rolled down. Wanted to be outside of the vehicle. Now, that's not to say that, again, that Chauvin was trained properly or was restraining him in the right way. Because in my mind, I wonder, if you really thought the guy was such a danger, why didn't you have multiple officers holding him down as opposed to just one elderly? I mean, I don't know how old Chauvin is. He looks kind of grisly in that in the video with his neck on the knee.
Right.
But, you know.
Knee on the neck. Neck on the knee would be a horrible attack.
Like, well, it was upside down.
That's right where I want you.
Knee on the neck. Knee on the neck.
Ow, my neck. That my knee hair. Right.
So then you wonder, like, what, you know, where at that situation was the question? And that does become the problem. When someone is saying over and over again, I have this problem, I have this problem, I have this problem, and it's clear that they're not acting on that problem. When they actually do have the problem, it does make it harder for officers to understand what are they doing. And I think to your point, is there was there a malicious intent? Was there bad training? Clearly, I don't think anyone's disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
But up until that moment, the amount of grace that was given for this gentleman, and I think because the woman in the car told them that he was having problems, that's the only reason why he was treated so well up until that point, all circumstances considered.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. And I think the most important component to this, not the most important, but again, the riots happened because, remember Hands Up, Don't Shoot?
Yeah.
Mike Brown was just some kid who got shot by a police officer for no reason. No, turns out he actually punched the officer and was reaching for his gun repeatedly, and the officer was actually somebody who asked to serve the underserved black community, Darren Wilson. I still feel bad for that guy, because that guy got railroaded, didn't do anything wrong. This was used, again, as another catalyst, because it was a racist officer who worked at a club with him, who went out, who had a vendetta, and just put his knee on his neck because he wanted to exterminate a black man that day. That's what spurred the riots. Again, $600 million in property damage, 900 officer casualties, 14,000 arrests, over 20 people dead. That was the narrative. It's pretty damn clear from this video that they weren't going out lynching or hunting a black person, which also some people were asking questions, but there were other officers here. Some of them were minority officers.
Right. Yeah.
So wouldn't they stand up if they saw this as some grave racial injustice? I think now it explains the context as to why they may not have. You don't. I still think that the training is terrible, that you shouldn't put a knee on a neck, but that really is a problem with the training. And I allegedly the seminar, when someone came in and taught this technique to police officers, it doesn't show any, I don't see any sign here, any inkling of racism or looking to harm somebody. I actually see officers who are pretty empathetic, who are pretty tolerant, who know that this is someone who cannot get their crap together, is high out of his mind, is a walking, ticking time bomb, by the way. This is a man who wasn't going to live very long, and stress, this is not something new. If you're on fentanyl, I mean, you could die from fentanyl just from fentanyl, period. Right. You take fentanyl, you're dead. The size of a grain of sugar. Right, size of a Rice Krispie fentanyl. Snap, crackle, pop, you died from fentanyl. It's that bad, fentanyl. It's just a tiny little rice kernel can kill you. Fentanyl, morphine, methamphetamine can kill somebody. You add COVID on top of that, a pre-existing heart condition, and then stress of an arrest because you're likely getting into the back of a paddy wagon, going to the big house for a while. I don't even know, and this is why we have to wait to see the coroner's report that he died from the knee and the neck necessarily. And this is why it's important, because this was the catalyst for all the riots, and people want to paint the black community with a broad brush. New statistic that comes out from Gallup, 81% of black Americans either want the same or more police presence in their neighborhoods.